Welcome to the EMCC meeting. I'd like to get the meeting started. First, we have a couple of announcements. We have three new members that I'd like to introduce. The first down at our my far left, down at the far end there, is Jeff Barkey. He's a family physician that works in Newport Beach, right near Hogue. Welcome to the committee. He'll be representing the second district for the Board of Supervisors. Thank you for coming and taking the time to help us. Next is David Gibbs. David Gibbs down here. David is the trauma director at Chalk Children's here in Orange County. I've known David for years. He's a pediatric surgeon that comes on a mission as well, and a good friend. And thank you for taking the time to be on the committee. I appreciate it. He'll be representing the Orange County Medical Association general membership. And then lastly is Chief Adam Loser. I was going to say loser, but I don't want to. I'm sorry. Adam is the chief for the Brea Fullerton Fire Department, and he'll be representing the Fire Chiefs Association. So thank you for taking the time to be on the committee, and welcome. Next, we have the minutes from the previous meeting. I have reviewed them and think that they're in order, and if there's no opposition, I'd make a motion that we approve these.
So moved.
Okay. Any opposition? No?
Second.
All right. We can move
Second.
On. Next is our OCEMS report and correspondence, also known as the Carl Schultz Show. Carl, take over.
This particular performance will be a little bit longer than the last one, so I apologize for that, but I will try to keep these comments as brief as possible. To start off with, we are in the process of finalizing plans for what they call a high-risk ambulance, so in case we ever get a highly communicable infectious disease outbreak akin to something like either SARS or Ebola or something like that, we would have a specialized ambulance that we could use to transport individuals to centers of excellence where they could get definitive care. As many of these we may not be able to handle in Orange County, but LA County has centers and we'd be able to transport them using this ambulance. So we're in the final stages of sorting that out. It'll be housed in LA County, but we will be able to use one of them. There'll be three of them total, and we'll have access to one of them. So that's in the works. We had a drill at John Wayne Airport that was based on an infectious disease, and that's where this sort of came from. And it went fairly well. Their policies and procedures worked pretty much as designed. And so that will dovetail effectively with our plans to use this ambulance should that ever become an issue. Along the lines of infectious disease, it's going to complete the trifecta, we have had a sustained, although very minor, hepatitis A outbreak that continues throughout much of the country. It was very notable in San Diego. That has sort of calmed down, but we still have a handful of cases. It's nothing that we really need to do much more about than we're already doing, but just we keep the paramedics advised that they need to continue to use their PPE, that this is sort of a smoldering situation, and they need to be cautious, not drop their guard. Otherwise, it seems to be under control. The last thing on my report is the Healthcare Coalition of Orange County. For those of you that may not know what this is something that really was endorsed by the federal government, and the idea was to try to take all the various components of the healthcare system, hospitals, clinics, dialysis centers, nursing homes, and tie them together in somewhat of a more cohesive network. So then rather than a bunch of different independent actors all doing something different at in times of disaster, that there would be some cohesion and some interaction and coordination between them and be more effective in managing the outbreak. So that's in the works. We've identified some initial members, and that's moving forward. It's a huge lift. Will probably be a long time process, but it's definitely off the ground and moving forward. And that's it for the medical director's report.
Next is the hospital diversion report, which is attachment number 2 in your packet.
Right. If you take a look at attachment number 2, that will show you the hospital diversion report. If there's a sort of a 5-year review in there, it's on page 6. And so you can see that in the grand scheme of things, the diversion report is pretty much in line with what it's been. We've had a small uptick in the last month, a little more than we usually see. So that's a little bit concerning. We did meet with some of the hospitals, and apparently there has been an increase in acuity and volume, not related to the flu, just it happens. But again, if you look at the grand scheme, the picture over many years, it's not that out of touch with what we do see this time of year. So while we're continuing to monitor it, we're not overly concerned. Any questions about that?
Thank you. Next is the ambulance patient offload times, which is attachment number three.
Three, correct. And as sort of in support of what I just said, if you look at the ambulance patient offload times, there hasn't been any real change in that over the last couple of months. So even though the hospitals are busier and there's more hours of diversion, the basic offload timing for the county is about the same as it usually runs. So not a lot of evidence that the system is really in any danger or any crisis. So we're fairly comfortable. We're not happy about it, but we're not concerned that anything is about to collapse or unfold. We feel that there's still the system is working reasonably well. Sure. This is a number that we're mandated to report by the state, and it is the time from when the ambulance arrives at the hospital, pulls up on the ramp, and the wheels stop, and they begin to offload the patient to the time that the individual, either medic or EMT, gives report to the nurses, and the patient's taken off of the gurney from the ambulance and onto a hospital bed. And that's the time. And what it refers to is the 90th percentile. So it's not really an average. What we report is at what time are 90% of the patients offloaded to the emergency department. And the average is around 26 to 30 minutes. And that's the 90th percentile. So 10% of the time, it's longer than that. 89% of the time, it's less than that.
Next is the 911 emergency ambulance transport contract performance mid-year report for fiscal year 2018-19, which is attachment four.
Hi, good morning. My name is Andrew Roberts, and I work under the ambulance performance section. We're responsible for the administration of the 911 emergency ambulance transportation services contract. Attachment four consists of the mid-year report for fiscal year 2018-2019. It was posted to the EMS website on February 26, 2019. The report demonstrates that the response time performance in all regions continues to exceed the 90th percentile compliance standard, which is set forth in the contract. This report and other 911 EATS performance reports can be found at healthdisasteroc.org/EMS/APS. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next is attachment five, which is the EMS correspondence. I don't know if there's anybody here that wants to speak to this. The only question I would have is there's some correspondence in here about the City of Irvine and Orange County Fire Authority, and if you could just give us an update.
Sure. The other documents in here are just sort of for your information about ongoing processes within the county, and you can review those at your leisure. There is a series of documents in here that refers to a negotiation that's occurred and been ongoing for, what, like 2 years?
A while.
Yeah, a while, between the City of Irvine and the Orange County Fire Authority, and they seem to have reached an agreement, and that's what this is about.
Thank you. Next is the EMCC Advisory Subcommittee and Advisory Group reports. Any updates from facilities from their advisory subcommittee?
There's a couple of updates from all three of these committees. The Facilities Advisory Committee met on March 12th and of note discussed the healthcare coalition, which we've already discussed, and then also an issue that had to do with ensuring that the counties, it's still in draft form, it hasn't been finalized yet, but the state was wanting the counties to make sure that if individuals were taken to hospitals and they ended up needing a trauma center, that they were expeditiously triaged from the non-trauma center to the trauma center without any political issues, and people were playing by the rules. And we're really good with that. I've reviewed our policies and procedures, and I don't think whatever the state ends up doing, we should be in good shape. I don't think this is going to impact us one way or the other, but we're still waiting to see what happens with the final drafts. This could take a while. Regarding the County Paramedic Advisory Committee, There were just a couple of things that came up. We're starting a pilot project for what we call humeral interosseous lines, where if there's a sick patient and they need fluids and we can't give it to them through their veins, and they happen to have legs that we can't put a line in, then we can put it in the shoulder. It's an extensive policy, and no one yet has submitted us a formal request to pilot it, but it is available, and so if we do get that request, we will try and work with that particular fire department or fire agency to initiate this pilot project, but so far we haven't heard anything. The other issue, and I can't remember if this has come up already, but just as a FYI, we are not going to be giving a drug called Zofran, which is what we use for nausea, to pregnant women because there is some evidence that it might result in an increase in cleft palates. It's not the strongest evidence in the world. It wouldn't surprise me if in 5 years we went back to doing this again because the evidence isn't great, but it's very well distributed, that information, throughout the population, and it just seems, given our short transport times, that this is would be borrowing trouble to continue to do this, so we've opted to hold off on Zofran in pregnant women. The last item is the Transportation Advisory Committee. They met in January and basically reviewed the issue of possibly crafting a standard for APOT times, and they declined to do so. And so they are not going to, they have no plans to currently issue a recommendation on what the official 90% fractile should be, and so we're going to let that stand.
Will this follow what the state recommends, or?
If the state makes a recommendation, then of course we would follow that.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the other issue that came up, and don't laugh, we will be transporting canines that are in the service of the police department if they are injured and the ambulance is not needed for humans. So it is conceivable that in an event, while there be no human injuries, a dog might be injured and require veterinarian care. And so we now have a policy that allows the ambulance company to take the dog to a kennel or an animal hospital at the direction of the handler who will go with them. And the paramedics will not be in the back with the dog. It'll just be the dog and the handler. Everybody else is in the cab. But this is a pilot that went to San Bernardino. It's at the state level. There seems to be a lot of support behind this. So we decided to be a little bit proactive and go ahead and put this forward.
Has there ever been any dog transports in the state that you're aware of?
In the state, yes. In Orange County, not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I remember there was a case in Irvine a few months ago where a police dog lost a bunch of teeth while chasing a suspect. It was pretty bad. And there's been a few shootings in this area in the last couple of years. I think it's a great idea. Glad we're doing it.
Okay, next, moving on to unfinished business, there's a couple of informational items that you can give us an update on, Dr. Schultz. The first is the American College of Surgeons Trauma System Survey.
Correct. Are you all familiar with the fact that we were consulting the American College of Surgeons?
Yes.
Okay, so we all know that. Well, we finally signed the contract, so it is now official. They will be coming out July 15th for 4 days, and they will review our entire system. This is not a specific survey to any one hospital. This is a system survey, so they will be looking at not just trauma centers. They'll be looking at emergency receiving centers. They'll be looking at public health. They'll be looking at the coroner's office. All the things that are involved in our system of trauma care will be up for review, and then they will give us a report at the end of their visit. And that looks like that's pretty much on track, and some of the hospitals will probably be getting some requests for information. There is a very large pre-visit questionnaire. It's abbreviated PRQ, and I can't remember what the R stands for. Review, thank you. Pre-review questionnaire. So they need a lot of information to help them before they come out, and so the requests for that information will be going out to multiple institutions over the next month or two to help the American College of Surgeons prepare for that.
Do you know who that will be addressed to? Will that be going to the CEOs of these hospitals or the emergency department directors or?
Both.
Both. Thank you.
Next, under unfinished business is the Comprehensive Children's Emergency Receiving Center pilot, an update?
Right. And then, again, everyone remember that we actually created this thing called a Comprehensive Children's Emergency Receiving Center, and that we implemented that in February as a pilot, and it's still under a pilot where there are two centers, one at St. Joe's, one at Chalk and one at Mission. And these are our specialty centers for pediatric care, so medics can request those as bases, base hospitals, and discuss difficult cases with them, and even transport patients there if so needed. And that's been working very well. We have a series of cases, and education has been going on. It's really turning out to be as good as we'd hoped. So we're going to let the pilot run probably for another month or so, and then sort of pull the data in. But it's looking like when we're all done that this will be something that we're going to take off pilot and make permanent.
Thank you. Next, under new business, we have an action item, which is the maximum emergency ground ambulance rates effective July 1st, 2019, which is attachment number 7.
So let me summarize the cover sheet here. Some of you may remember a couple years ago, and for the last 5 or 6 years, we've been trying to get the Board of Supervisors to delegate authority to the healthcare agency to automatically adjust ambulance rates. We were able to do that in 2017 based on a methodology that utilized a CPI series of LA, Riverside, and Orange County's all items index. However, once we got that approved, 8 to 10 months later, that CPI series was discontinued. So we can no longer automatically adjust without a change in the CPI. So in doing research and in consult with the Ambulance Association, we are recommending that, obviously we can't use the discontinued series, but we'd like to use the LA, Long Beach, Anaheim series to adjust the rates. And just to note that CPI is used to adjust the oxygen, standby, expendable supplies, and mileage rates only. This doesn't affect the adjustment to the base rate. The base rate is adjusted using the mandatory changes in minimum wage. So we're asking this committee to approve that recommendation as we move to the Board for final approval. This is the maximum allowable rate that the ambulance companies can bill the patient. Yes.
So when a patient calls 911 and they're transported to the hospital, this is the rate they're going to be charged.
And the Board of Supervisors sets that rate.
Yes. So it's they have authority over the unincorporated areas of the county and the cities that abide by our ambulance ordinance. So. For the most part, it's the 19 cities that accompany the 5 regions of our ambulance contract. All of the other cities have control over their own rates, and what they typically do is if the county raises the rate 2%, they raise their city rates
2%. This is the maximum rate?
Yes. Yes.
And I don't know what the history is. Do they normally just set it at the maximum based on what the supervisors allow them to do?
Yes.
Or do they actually compete and come in at a lower rate and try to get more business?
No, it's set. If you look at a statewide average, the Orange County rate is mid to low. It's an extremely low rate. So I would say that it's already set at a fair, competitive price.
Any other questions from the committee members?
Anybody? I'd like to move to approve.
We have a second. Any other discussion?
Second.
Second. Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay. Next, under new business is the EMCC 2019 slate of officers. Want to do that, Dr. Schultz?
Thank you. We convened a working group to nominate a new chair of this body and a vice chair. I did not vote, but I was a facilitator to pull the meeting together. We had two representatives that volunteered, and after some discussion, it was unanimous between the two that they recommend the continuing positions of chair to go to Dr. Mike Ritter and the vice chair position to go to Tres Gutierrez. And so that recommendation is then formally brought forth to the board for their consideration.
So we could get a motion to approve that?
Second.
Second. All in favor? Aye. Any opposition? Well, thank you for the vote of confidence there. Next, member comments. Any of the members of the EMCC committee would like to address? Yes.
I just want to make a comment about I really appreciate the ambulance companies putting forth their community service hours to all the various communities. And I would ask, how does one get some of those volunteer hours? I mean, there was quite a variety of different things. So I thought that was really good. And I appreciate that. And I know the different events appreciate having the ambulances on the standby. I don't know if anybody wants to comment as to how a city or an organization could, you know, ask for that volunteer help.
I'll speak for Dana Point. We simply call the provider.
Okay.
And ask them to participate in our events.
Oh, sorry. There you go. So okay. Working with Dana Point, we do call, in our case, Care Ambulance, and they're almost always willing to provide some services for us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for those kind words. Any other comments from the committee members? Next is the public forum. Does anybody in the audience, would they like to address the committee, or do we have any comment cards, Eileen?
Nope.
All right. Not quite as record-setting as our last meeting, but we were down at 9:22. Our next meeting will be Friday, July 12th, 2019. That's right before the American College of Surgeons survey. So we will see you then. Thank you for coming.